So this is a challenge this Sunday to preach on this scripture. The Holy Spirit put this in my heart, and the Holy Spirit, Tuesday at 4 a.m., showed me the way to go with this scripture. Now you may think, Pastor Tim, that's crazy. But I'll tell you why in a moment. The title of my sermon is Love is Patient, Love is Kind, Love Never Fails. And let's be clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13, what you just heard is not about romantic love. It's not about romantic love. It was originally written by Paul to soothe two factions in the church in Corinth. And if you look at 1 Corinthians, this chapter 13 is sandwiched between chapter 12, in which Paul was stepping into the middle of people discussing which part of the body of Christ is greater and why I'm more important than you are, and chapter 15, where Paul steps in because some of the people in the church in Corinth are denying the resurrection of Jesus. So in between these two sides, Paul sandwiched chapter 13. I read a theologian this week that said chapter 13, in the midst of these two other chapters, considered the other chapters like the Oreo cookie, but chapter 13 is the luscious, creamy center. Because it's all about love. And this text was foundational to the life of the church in Corinth. It's foundational to each one of our lives because it shows us the heart of God. The heart of God is love in word and action. And I also love the verse that reminds us that without love, all of this stuff you're doing, it's like a noise. It's like a clanging cymbal. And if you want to think of our political discourse today as various clanging cymbals, I wouldn't blame you. Because there's not a lot of love in our country today as people express themselves on the internet. So, I think we need this luscious, creamy Oreo center more than ever. But you know, this text has been hijacked, air quotes, by the romantic wedding industry. No, nothing wrong with that. And that's okay, because this is our wedding vow renewal Sunday. And this is not our church in Corinth Sunday. In fact, when our daughter Emily was married, we used Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13, and Sarah and the other mom-in-law, Terry, read alternating verses. And it was amazing. It brought tears to the eyes of the celebrant. That was me. But it was so beautiful. So yes, this is worthy to be hijacked, air quotes, by the wedding romantic industry. But there is more to this than that. And so, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Please fill me to overflowing with your love, the core of your being, your love abundant. And help me to please bring words and ideas and plant them in people's minds as seeds that blossom. In Jesus' name, amen. So yes, love is patient, love is kind, love never fails. And if you go back and read this chapter's verse 1 to 13, there are 16 love in action verbs. Not adjectives, but love in action verbs. And each one of these is a perfect foundation for a marriage that lasts and a marriage that grows. And each one of these 16 love in action verbs are the perfect expression of who God is and what God does. God is love. God does love, and God's greatest commandment is to love. But I was thinking about this. Consider Jesus coming into the world. Now, you know what he did on the face of it. He taught, he preached, he healed, he died for our sins, he was resurrected from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And so if we look at just those things, we know that for the first time ever, a divinity came and interacted with humans. But more importantly, in the incarnation of Jesus, Jesus came to live with humans as we live with each other. He ate with humans, laughed, walked, slept, suffered hunger, suffered fear, all of the things we do. Jesus came into this world, yes, to die on the cross and be resurrected, but also to show us, to embody for us the depth and the width and the breadth of love. And this did not happen with the Old Testament God. The Old Testament God was always, for the most part, up there. But the New Testament God is in this world, reminding us that we are made in God's image. And the New Testament God comes into this world to bring us to love and to life in love. I said I had a story about the Holy Spirit directing me. Earlier this week at 4 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep. And as I often do, I have my phone by the bed and I flipped through my old sermons. I find they put me to sleep when I listen to them. And I randomly went through the several hundred sermons and I landed on a sermon. And as I listened to it, I forgot that I had said the words. And I forgot the story that I'm going to tell you. But I preached this sermon at the end of June in 2019. And this was a couple weeks after my granddaughter Emmy had been born. And at that time, Sarah and I were going back and forth to Arlington. Sarah would go for several days, and I would go for several days, and she would go for several days. And one time, Sarah went and walked in the door, and our daughter Emily was sitting in this easy chair in the living room, and she was holding our granddaughter Imogen. And Sarah said, "Emily, how are you doing? You look tired." And Emily said, "I'm just trying to keep her alive." And that spoke to me about marriage. That spoke to me about marriages that last. Because in a marriage that lasts, each partner is just trying to keep their partner alive. So as we celebrate and renew our wedding vows, I got to thinking about all the times that Sarah or I have essentially said in the course of our 38 years together, "I'm just trying to keep you alive." And that is the essence of love. As I found my father dead on the floor of the bathroom in the condominium that my parents owned in Florida. And then soon after, as my mother died the night before she came to live with us in Arlington, Sarah was just trying to keep me alive. And as Sarah and I once spent 2 hours in the middle of a horrific thunderstorm, in the middle of the night, trying to bail out our 13 steps down well outside of our basement door for 2 hours to keep the water from coming into the basement, and we failed. And at that moment, Sarah and I were just trying to keep each other alive. As Sarah left a stable job, to step out into the world as a full-time landscape painter. I knew she could do it, but I was just trying to keep Sarah alive. As I was recovering from major surgery, and I do laugh at this, and Sarah inadvertently, as I was racked with pain, gave me a powerful laxative instead of a powerful pain medication. I know that she was just trying to keep me alive. As Sarah had her first successful show at her first studio in Arlington and sold and sold and sold painting after painting, I was able to celebrate with her, and I was there to keep her alive. As Sarah introduced me to the joys of banana smoothies when I had 4 wisdom teeth taken out in my late 30s. She was just trying to keep me alive. And as Sarah had a critical illness and almost had complications of a blood clot, I was there with her as the doctors worked, just trying to keep her alive. And as I discovered that investing our life savings is not the same as playing with Monopoly money, Sarah was just trying to keep me alive. As I held Sarah in our bedroom when all of the grief of her parents' death came pouring out, I was just trying to keep her alive. And as I look into Sarah's eyes and I see my best self reflected there, and vice versa, we are just keeping each other alive. And as we live, Sarah and I, with ever-aging bodies, we are just trying to keep each other alive. And as we celebrate, Sarah and I, we truly celebrate every day the blessing of being together. We celebrate keeping each other alive. You see, love is patient, and love is kind, and love never fails. And so God, at his core, is loving us with abundant, overflowing love so we can give his love to others. And God, at his core, is loving us to teach us to love as he loves. We see these words in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. And so God, at his core, is loving us to keep us alive in this world and eternally. So as we wrap this up, I want to go to the words of Reverend Jan Richardson. She is an awesome Methodist pastor, Her thoughts about love. Love is never about just opening our heart. It is about being willing to have our heart become larger as we make room for people and experiences we never imagined holding. Love is about being willing to have our heart become deeper as we move beyond the surface layers of our assumptions in order to truly see and receive what and who is before us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never fails. Love is always seeing the best in the other person, always lifting up the best in the other person. And so we give thanks and praise for all the ways that God's love is manifested in these wonderful marriages and relationships and children and Sunday school teachers and all the work you do for God in this world, serving and loving and helping and lifting up, single or not, married or whatever. And we give thanks for all of your love and God's love in Jesus' name. Amen.